What thrilled me about that psalm is that I really believe that Christ is all. I believe He's all to God. I believe He's all in this book. And I believe He's all in my salvation. I really believe Christ is all. The subject of the two verses I just read is perseverance. What did the prophets do? Take my brethren the prophets, they persevered. You know, one time Jeremiah said, I'm not speaking anymore. But did he keep his mouth shut? No. He said, His word was in my bones like a fire. He had to continue. In spite of all the mistreatings that they experienced and the affliction they experienced, they continued preaching the gospel. And they did so with patience, or endurance is the word. They continued. And then we read of Job. You've heard of the patience of Job. And that word patience, once again, is the endurance. You look at what all God brought him through. He lost everything. And yet he continued. He persevered. Losing everything, he persevered in the faith. Now, before I look at these verses in detail, what is the one evidence of salvation? Perseverance. What is the one evidence of election? That you've been chosen by God? Perseverance in the faith. What is the one evidence of regeneration? That God has actually given you a new heart, something that wasn't there before. What's the one evidence that you've been born of the Spirit? Perseverance in the faith. What's the evidence that you really have saving faith? Is it because you say you do? Is it because you give the right definition as to what saving faith is? No, it's perseverance in the faith. Our Lord said, He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, first of all, he gives the example of the prophets. Verse 10, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Now, these men spake in the name of the Lord. They preached the gospel is what that means. They preached His name as the only name that would bring a sinner into heaven. They preached in His name under His authority. They preached the gospel. And what did they get out of it? Suffering. You know, men have never loved the gospel. You find out what somebody's like, really, when they hear the gospel. That's when you find out what they're really like, what's really in their heart. And men hate the gospel because the gospel takes away what they're hoping in. If you're hoping in your works in any measure, to any degree, the gospel takes that hope away. And that's why people hate the gospel. And when the prophets preached the gospel, they suffered affliction. But you know what they did? They took it patiently. They knew that this was going to happen before they preached. God assured them that this was going to happen before they preached, that men will hate what you've got to say. They knew that. They preached the gospel anyway. They didn't quit. No matter what took place, they didn't quit. They persevered in preaching the gospel. And then he says in verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure or persevere. Perseverance. Now, I think the translation here, this word is generally translated blessed. We count them blessed. Blessed by God. that persevere all the way to the end. Yes, they're happy, but it might be they're pretty miserable while they're happy. In this thing of perseverance, they may be tortured, tormented. There's all kinds of things that could bring them much sorrow. But we count them blessed of God who persevere, who endure, who do not quit. The man who endures to the end is the man that is blessed of God. Now, happy and blessed. Let's talk about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was happy, wasn't he? Scripture says he fared sumptuously every day in fine linen. Oh, I'm sure sometimes he got the blues. Everybody does. But by and large, this man was a happy man. He had an easy life. He was rich. He didn't have troubles. He didn't have trials. Lazarus, what about him? He was sick. He had sores covering his body. He had dogs licking the wounds on his body. Now, which one was happy? I don't think Lazarus was all that happy. Which one was blessed of God? Lazarus was blessed of God. That rich man went to hell. He was under God's curse. He was under God's condemnation. Lazarus was brought into glory. He had God's blessing. Now, one who perseveres all the way to the end is the one who dies in the faith. Look what he says next in verse 11. He said, you heard of the patience of Job. Now, I think that's kind of an interesting statement. When's the last time you read the book of Job? He seemed anything but patient, didn't he? As a matter of fact, after God took everything, he said the right thing at first, but it didn't take him long to curse the day he was born, did it? And all he did was complain about the fairness of how he was being treated unjustly and how he's trying to vindicate himself to all of his friends. And he was complaining and murmuring the whole way through. So what is this about the patience of Job? James said you've heard of the patience of Job. Well, there's a couple of things that I thought about. First, I love this. The New Testament mentions the Old Testament saints in a light that is not brought out in the Old Testament about them. The patience of Job. Well, if James said Job was a patient man, he was a patient man. Now, what about Lot? Would you have called Lot, if you didn't have the New Testament, would you have called Lot a just man and a righteous man to speak of his righteous soul? You wouldn't have thought that about Lot. This is what God says about Lot. He's a righteous man. That's the New Testament account. Remember Sarah? She hears the Lord say that she's going to have a child, and she starts laughing. She doesn't believe. And the Lord said, why were you laughing? She said, I didn't laugh. I mean, she lied, said the Lord, right there in front of his face. And when the New Testament account we have, she, by faith, received strength to conceive seed. What about Moses? Moses murders a man, hides his body, and flees the country in fear, afraid of the wrath of the king. But what does the New Testament account say? It says he didn't fear the wrath of the king. Didn't fear, was strong in faith. So this could be just the New Testament account of Job, but it also could be this. Job was tried like me and you have never been tried. All of his material possessions were taken away. Now what if tonight you lost everything and didn't even have a home to go to? His health was taken away. He became covered with boils and had to scrape the boils on his body. And his whole family was killed. And his good reputation was taken away. At one time he was highly esteemed, and now all of his buddies are saying, what did you do to get in such a mess as this? He lost everything. And he complains. You would too. I would too. How could this be happening to me? Until God speaks from the whirlwind. Who is this that darkeneth counsel with words without knowledge? And you know what Job did? He listened. And he persevered in listening. He did not stop listening. And after God was finished speaking, he said, I put my hand on my mouth. I've got nothing to say. I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ears, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I hate myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Now he persevered in hearing what God said. Now, as I said, the only evidence of salvation is perseverance all the way to the end. How many people have you seen begin that did not end? The only evidence of being elected of God is perseverance in the faith all the way to the day you die. The only evidence of being born of the Spirit is you persevering all the way to the end. The only evidence that you really have faith is that you persevere in the faith all the way to the end. Just like the prophets, just like Job, those people who endure. Now, the beginning is important. You're not saved if you don't begin in the faith. But you know what's more important? The ending. I want you to think about that stony ground here. He heard the true gospel. He wasn't hearing a false gospel. He heard the true gospel. The seed is the word of God. He heard the word of God and he received it. And he received it joyfully. He said, this is great. This is what I've always wanted to hear. But as soon as persecution arose from the word, he was offended. He said, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't know this was going to take place. He's gone. What about the thorn choked here? He received the word. He rejoiced in what he heard. He received the word. But what happened? The thorns grew and choked the word. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things, they came in competition with the word. And he did not bear fruit. He didn't have true spiritual life. Now, he began well. He was in every service. But by and by, his interest was taken away. He might still be here. He might still be sitting there in the pew. But he bears no fruit. He doesn't have any true spiritual life. Now, the Lord said on two different occasions, he that endureth to the end. He that endureth to the end. The same shall be saved. Now, I want to look at several scriptures. First, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 19. They went out from us. They left us. But they were not of us. They didn't have the same origin. He that's of God heareth God's words. Where are you from? I'm from God. My only hope is being united to Christ. That's where I'm from. Where are you from? Where's your origin? I'm from God. If I'm a believer, that every believer can say that. He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would, no doubt, have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, what does this thing of persevering in faith look like? I want to persevere in the faith, don't you? What's it look like? What does someone do who perseveres, continues in the faith? Well, turn with me to John chapter 8. verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now these men who claim to believe, who claim to be his disciples, at the end of this chapter, they pick up rocks wanting to stone the Lord Jesus. So they did not continue in his word. Now here is the point. This hit me so powerfully. If you continue, where? In my word. Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That word he's speaking of is the same word of which Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, preach the word. The word of God is the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You don't leave the word. You don't leave the gospel. You don't leave the message of this book. It's called the Word of God. If you continue in my word, if somebody can leave the word, they're not disciples indeed. Now, I don't know what else to say about that. Somebody gets mad, leaves the church. Does that mean they're not saved? Well, I'll tell you what, if they don't continue in his word, it does. That's the point. If they don't continue in his word, in the gospel. If you continue in my word, what are the words of Christ to you? Do you find his word words of spirit and words of life? It's the gospel to you. You must have the gospel. You must hear the gospel. If you continue in my word, not just to begin, but to continue in my word, then are you true disciples. It's only that one who continues. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now I read verse 22 so often. Let's read verses 21 and 22. And you that were sometime or before time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And that word, if. You're holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith. Does that mean it's possible to be what 22 says? We could be holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight and yet not continue in the faith? Doesn't mean that at all. It does mean this. The one evidence that you are, in fact, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. And you think of what that means. That means when God sees me, he sees someone who's holy. Someone who doesn't have anything to blame them for. Nothing to reprove them for. Perfect. It's talking about justification is what it's talking about. That's what justification is. What is the evidence that I'm holy and unblameable and unreprovable? If I continue in the faith. grounded and settled, and I'm not moved from the hope of the gospel. What is the hope of the gospel? I said this last Sunday. Here's my hope. That when I stand before God, I'm justified. I'm not guilty. There's nothing to accuse me of because of what Christ did in my behalf. That's my hope. My hope is that when Christ died for me, nothing else is needed, that He saved me by what He did. That's my hope. Now, if I move from that hope, I'm in trouble. You would be crazy to be moved from that hope. Why would anybody want to be moved from that hope? Does your hope get any better than this? That you're holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight through what Christ did for you? Why would someone want to be moved from that hope? This is justification, salvation by grace. And my dear friend, if you move from that hope, you're crazy. Amen? Crazy. Look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now, how did you receive Christ? I know the answer to that question. When you truly received Him, you received Him with an empty hand, having nothing to recommend you to His favor. That's the way you received Him. Now, as you've received Him, so walk ye in Him. You know, you never graduate past that, do you? You never move past that. Just receiving Him as an empty-handed sinner, receiving Him as all in your salvation. That's why I enjoyed that song so much. Christ is all. He is all. He's all in my salvation. And I don't want to be moved an inch past that. I don't graduate from that. It doesn't get any better than that. Somebody says, well, what about growth? This is the greatest thing in the world. Why would you say, what about anything else? Christ is all. Somebody says, well, what about, you haven't heard then. You haven't heard then. If you ever hear that Christ is all, you won't be saying, what about this or what about that? Or no. This is the apex. This is the greatest. Christ is all. That's my only hope. All that God requires of me, He looks to the Lord Jesus Christ for. What a hope that is. Seeing that we have such hope, Paul said, we use great plainness of speech. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 6. But Christ is a son over His own house, whose house are we? And there's that little word if again. If. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? The confidence of the hope. Do you have confidence that if Jesus Christ died for you, you must be saved? Do you have confidence that His righteousness is the only righteousness you have and the only righteousness you want and the only righteousness there is? Do you have confidence in His righteousness? What about the word rejoicing? If we hold the confidence and the rejoicing. Now that word rejoicing is the same word that Paul uses in Galatians 6:14 when he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word rejoicing is the glorying, the boasting in, the confidence in. Now what is the hope? Well, I've already talked about it. The hope is that all that God requires of me, He looks to Christ for. That's my hope. The only hope I have of being saved is that Christ died for me and put away my sins and gave me His righteousness. The only hope I have is the freeness of God's grace, His preserving power. I glory in that hope. I have confidence in that hope right now. And I'm to hold that steadfast to the end. That's perseverance in the faith. Look in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if, there's that word again, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, what's the beginning of your confidence? Now, when I first looked to Christ, I knew He was all I had. I didn't have any experience to look to. I didn't have any good works to hold on to. In the beginning of my confidence, all I had was Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Now, what am I called upon to do? To hold fast that beginning of confidence. I never graduate past that. It doesn't get any better than that. I don't go on to higher things. This is the high life. To hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, the beginning of my confidence has not changed a bit. I still say, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy riven side which flowed be of sin, the devil cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. That's the beginning of my confidence. I couldn't look to myself for anything. He was all I had. I never moved past that. Somebody says, but it seems like if you persevere, you get better, you grow, you improve, well, let me say a couple of things about that. A couple of things. First, where do you find anybody talking in the Bible like that? You don't. When Paul was first saved, he said, I'm the least of the apostles. During the middle of his ministry, he said, I'm less than the least of all the saints. And shortly before he died, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. And that's what he really believed about himself. And I look at my experience. I know that the Scripture doesn't teach anything like that, but I look at my experience. I'm not out robbing banks. I'm not out going to brothel houses by the grace of God. I would apart from God's grace. But here's the point still. I don't feel, honestly, do I feel like I'm any better than I was when I was first saved? Actually, I feel worse. I feel more sinful. And I think if you've got the Spirit of God, that's the way you're going to feel. If you have a holy nature, you're going to see that you have an evil nature. And the folks who don't see this sinfulness of themselves is because they don't have a holy nature. It's a holy nature that sees the sinfulness. So, in my experience, do I feel like I'm getting better? No. But I tell you this, I see more glory in being saved by Christ only than I've ever had. And I look to Christ, I'm leaning on Him more wholly now than I ever have. He's all I got. Now, you're to hold the beginning of your confidence. It never gets any better than that. Steadfast to the end. That is perseverance in the faith. Now, how are we enabled to persevere? These are the closing statements I want to make. How are we enabled to persevere like that? I want to do that, don't you? That's what I want to do. Well, the Lord said in John chapter 28 concerning His sheep, I give unto them eternal life.
Not temporary life, but eternal life. And he went on to say, they shall never perish. Do you believe the sheep of Christ can perish? No. He said they won't. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now that's the security of the sheep. That's why they'll persevere. They're preserved. Listen to this scripture, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. Who begun the good work? Sure wasn't you. He did it. And he'll carry it out. You see, the Lord doesn't start something and not finish. Anything he begins, he finishes. And he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's why you'll persevere in faith. He said in the next chapter, in Philippians chapter 2, that it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we're kept. Kept by the power of God. Now, why are you going to persevere in the faith? Because you're kept by the power, the almighty, invincible omnipotence of God. Now, is that enough to keep you? You're kept by the power of God through faith. You know what you're going to keep doing? Keep believing. Keep looking to Christ only. You're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Jude said, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. Now what Jude is specifically referring to is he keeps you from falling away. You fall, don't you? You fall. And the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6, a just man falleth seven times and ariseth. Now why the seven? Why eight? Why not eight? Why not six? Well, seven is the number of completion. You know what that means? A just man falleth all the time. All the time. But you know what else he does? He rises. He rises. By the grace of God, he rises. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. That's talking about falling away. He can keep you from falling the other way too. But this is talking about keeping you from falling away. Why is it that you haven't fallen away? Because he's kept you from it. Now hear me. If it's possible for a believer to fall away, you will. You believe that? If it's possible, you will. But thank God it is not possible. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. One last scripture. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. I want you to look at this with me. 28. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide, remain, don't go anywhere else, abide in him. Now, in Christ, that's talking about being in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being united to him. If you're in him, that means when whatever he does, you do. Just like if a woman is with child,
Wherever she goes, that baby goes. Wherever she enters, that baby enters, because that baby is in her. Every believer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Every believer is in Christ. And you know what else? Every believer doesn't want to be anywhere else. When I abide in Him, that means I don't want to be anywhere else. You know, this word abide is translated by seven different words in the King James New Testament. It's translated abide, that means stay, continue, don't leave, dwell. You know, that's where you live. Where you dwell is where you live. You know, I live in Christ. I don't want to be anywhere else. I don't want to be outside of Christ. I don't want God to look at me in any way apart from simply being in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's translated remain. What remains is what's left when everything else is gone. All I have is Christ, being found in Him. It's translated stand. This is what I'm going to make my stand for. Salvation's in Christ and nowhere else. And I like this the best, really. Tarry. You tarry somewhere where you like being. You don't want to leave. You're very comfortable there. You're very at home there. You don't want to be anywhere. You tarry because you like being there. Now, little children, abide in Him. Persevere in Him. Now, thank God, God put me in Him, causes me to abide in Him. But you know what? I don't want to be anywhere else. Abide in Him. I love what Paul said in Philippians 3. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. When God comes looking for me, all I want is to be found in Christ. I don't want to be judged according to my faithfulness, according to my preaching, the accuracy of my preaching, my Bible reading, my efforts to put down sin, my effort. No, I don't want any of that. I want to be found in Christ so that all God sees when He sees me is Jesus Christ. Now that's the desire of every believer. Now why did the prophets persevere? Because they believed the gospel. They believed what they were preaching. How did Job make it through all those trials? God preserved him. And he was made to hear the gospel. We count those people blessed that endure. Yeah, they are blessed of God. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. May the Lord God strengthen us to persevere all the way to the end. Let's pray. Lord, we're so sinful, so weak. Lord, we ask for Thy great grace to cause us to persevere in the faith. And how we thank You for Him that's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before Your presence with exceeding joy. Lord, bless this message for Your glory and for our good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.